Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning and to gather to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as they were singing that song, or reading, as Rick was reading Psalm 112, I recalled sitting in the waiting room at Carlisle Hospital years ago after our son Greg had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and going through that whole process. Our other son Daniel developed the same symptoms, and we had to go to Carlisle Hospital to have a test and biopsy done. And sitting in that waiting room, I was questioning God and running through my mind all kinds of things, but I was prompted, and I truly believe it was by the Holy Spirit. Gideon Bible was there on the table, and I picked it up, and I opened it to Psalm 112, and I began to read it. And I got to the verse that says that the righteous will not fear bad news. And that verse hit me like a rock. And I continued to read, and the test was done, and we're still waiting. And then the report came out that he was fine. So I want to praise the Lord for that this morning. But the Word of God is real, and the Word of God is relevant for today. And, you know, the Holy Spirit knows what we need to hear, when we need to hear it. And we need to have ears to hear what he wants to say to us. And we just need to have open ears and hearts and eyes to see and allow him to speak to us. Today we're going to look at some scripture familiar to you probably from John chapter 14. And you know the setting. Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples. And his last days are imminent. His last days are before him, and he's preparing his followers for what is about to happen. And he comforts them there in the opening of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me. And then he goes down, and we're going to pick up reading at verse 11 of John chapter 14. Jesus, again, is speaking, and he says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Ending at verse 18. Father, we are so grateful, God, for this privilege of coming as the family of God, the body of Christ, into this house and place of worship. And we just ask the Spirit of God to settle in upon us, to direct every word, help us to hear what you want to say to us today, that we would be encouraged, that we would leave this place knowing that we've been in your presence. I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and we ask this all in his wonderful name. Amen and amen. Last Sunday, we began just a three-part series about you shall receive power, and we talked about the promise, and we looked at Luke chapter 24, where Jesus appeared to the disciples. And he told them that they would be witnesses of all the things that they saw and heard. But he told them that they would receive what he, excuse me, they told him what he was going to send them to do. But they had to wait into Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father. And so we talked briefly about the promise, the sending, the coming, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We read that in Joel chapter 2, where God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So we see that, and today we want to talk about the person of promise, the person of promise. Now we can take a look at the Godhead, who is God, who is a triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we recognize who God is. And there can be various opinions and ideas. If you ask people, survey people, they will tell you what they think about the term God. Do they know a God? Yeah, there's many gods, this God of this. But as followers and believers of Jesus Christ, we know who God is. He's our Heavenly Father. Even in the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples when they asked him, teach us to pray, he gave them the prayer that we know. And he said, our Father which art in heaven. What is the next words? Hallowed be thy name. And we are to honor and respect God. We are to honor and respect his words. We are to honor and respect where we are, that we're in the very presence of such a holy, majestic, glorious God who can do anything that he wants, anytime he wants. And so we need to honor and respect him. And then we come down to Jesus, Christ, the Son of God, and we need to show the same honor and respect to him. And we see that today in our culture and in our society, and I would hope that that doesn't come and invade or very subtly come into the church, but that we neglect that name, that we're not ashamed of that name. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Christ. But I heard an individual say here recently that he was asked to come and give an invocation at an event around where he lived. And in that invitation, he was asked, please do not pray in the name of Jesus. And we've even heard that in the news today in some places at some times that we're not to use the name of Jesus. Well, if we're told, well, please don't use it, we're not going. Amen? So we need to lift up the name of Jesus, and we need to show honor and respect. And there can be different ideas, different opinions of who he is. Jesus even asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they had a variety of answers. But today, if you're here, I hope you know who Jesus is. I hope you know him personally. I hope you know him intimately. I hope you know him as Savior and Lord of your life. I hope you know him as one that sticks closer than a brother. I hope you know him as a personal friend that will never leave nor forsake you. And so we talk about the Father, the Son, and then we come to the Holy Spirit. And I know sometimes, I've been in churches a long time, and I know sometimes when you mention the name of the Holy Spirit, that sometimes people will put up walls of whatever. Well, I've heard things. And I'm so thankful that we hear reference made to the Spirit of God here in this place. We can never neglect or forsake that third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And we recognize and we declare him to be the third person of the Trinity. As I said, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We declare him and believe him to be a person, and that we can have a personal relationship with him. And my concern is that sometimes we may be uninformed or misinformed about him. The Spirit of God is not an it. We don't refer to the Spirit of God as an it. We refer to the Spirit of God as a person, Him. Nowhere in Scripture do we find Him referred to as it. He is a person. And I read recently about the account of an individual who was saved. And after he had been saved, he developed this burning desire to serve God. And he went to talk to his pastor about this. And he was about to enter Bible college. And he was expecting to hear some words of encouragement or even edification about what he was doing and his desire to do. But instead of that, what he was told was, be careful of those people who talk about the Holy Spirit. It's like, well, you know what I've heard. And maybe that's the mindset of some people today. I've heard this. Sometimes we go by what we hear, except by personal experience. As I said last week, that we can't come into a personal relationship with God, with Christ Jesus, without the Spirit of God drawing us. That's one of His purposes. That's one of His functions. And so our desire as believers should be to know God intimately and personally. Our desire should be, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, to know Him personally, to know Him intimately. And thirdly, our desire as believers should be able to know the Holy Spirit personally and intimately. That we must understand that as believers, that we can have a vibrant, intimate relationship with all three. As third person of the Trinity, He is co-equal, coexistent, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. Throughout Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit involved first. We see Him even in Genesis 1, where we see Him involved in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and it says that the Spirit of God hovered. I can imagine, and you may disagree with that, but the Spirit of God was waiting for God to say, let there be. And when God said, let there be, there was, because the Spirit of God moved. I heard a speaker say many years ago, the Spirit of God is the power of God, or the performer, a performer of the Word, a doer of the Word. But He was involved in creation. In Luke chapter 1, the Spirit of God is involved in the birth of Jesus. Mary had received this message from the angel, and her natural question is, well, how is this going to happen? I've never slept with a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. The Spirit of God was involved in the birth of Jesus Christ. So He's active. Thirdly, we see the Holy Spirit involved in the life and ministry of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus being baptized by John. And immediately when He come up out of the water, the Bible says the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and lit upon Him. Immediately there was a voice from heaven said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then it says the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, led Him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil 40 days. Isn't it something that the Spirit of God may not always lead you in the most pleasant places to accomplish the most pleasant things? But as we see that, and as we witness what happened to Jesus after 40 days, at His weakest moment, no food, no water, physically weak, that's when the enemy comes. And that's when the enemy comes to you and me in our weakest moment to say, hey, is that really working? Is what you believe really true? Does God really love you? Are you really saved? All kinds of dumb stuff he will cause us to think about. But we see him. But the important thing of it is, as when Jesus refused to bow to what he was offered, and what you bow to is what you worship. It can be anything, but what you bow your knee to is what you worship. It can be your home, it can be your job, it can be anything, but what you bow to is what you worship. And Jesus refused to bow to him. But then the wonderful thing is, it says that the Spirit of the Lord led him out in power and victory. He may lead you into a place that is not comfortable to you, that may be uneasy for you to maneuver and to handle, but if we stay true, he will lead you out in strength and power and victory. But we have to stay true. So we see him active, involved in the life and ministry of Jesus, and we see him then involved in the life and work of the disciples. There are many places throughout the scripture where we read, God said, and then it follows whatever God may say. And he spoke to the prophets of the Old Testament. Countless times we read that. In the Gospels, we read Jesus, his words are in red. Jesus said, and thus we have what he says recorded. And then the book of Acts contained the words, the Holy Spirit said. So the Spirit of God is a person. He's involved in the lives of individuals. And he, in addition to that, he speaks. He talks. We see that in John writing in the book of Revelation when he's addressing the seven churches, and they all end with the words, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So we have to give ear to what the Spirit is saying. Now, this is not just some mystical thing that happens. You can hear, bear witness to the Spirit of God, because he does. Paul says that in Romans, that the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Have you experienced that in your life? The Spirit of God just confirming that you're a child of God. So he does bear witness. He does speak. And if he speaks, then we should listen. He has maybe something important to say to us. He may have something important to say to you. Give ear to what the Spirit of God is saying. He has feelings. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us he does. In Ephesians chapter 4, we find Paul writing to the believers at Ephesus. And he's talking about the things that we should not be doing. And in verse 30, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't offend. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How can we grieve the Spirit of God? We read verses prior, before that verse, and after. And Paul says things that as believers, as followers of Christ, things that we ought not be doing, things that we should not be involved with. And he says that we should, in verse 26, he said, in your anger, do not sin. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you stole, stop stealing. Speak truth. Speak truth, even when it hurts, even when some people may not want to hear it. Speak truth. He is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful and building others up according to their needs. He says, put away anger, put away rage, put away bitterness and brawling, put away slander, every form of violence. Put away these things. And when I don't do them, when I fall into that trap of doing those things and I sin, I grieve the Holy Spirit. So he says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. These things are hurtful. They're sin. And when we sin, the Spirit of God is grieved. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul is writing and he lists some things that he is writing to the believers at Thessalonica. And he says, be joyful always. You may be familiar with the passage. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. He says those things. And then in the NIV it says, don't put out the Spirit's fire, or don't quench the Spirit of God. How do I quench the Spirit of God? When I, you know, sometimes we can stiff arm the Spirit of God. He is speaking to us. He's nudging us. He's maybe saying something to us about, don't go there. Don't say that. Don't do that. And we say, in your face. We stiff arm the Spirit of God. Or we stiff arm the Spirit of God saying, well, we don't know if we want that. Anything that God wants to give you, in my opinion, anything that God wants to give you is good for you. Amen? Anything God wants to give you is good for you. It's not going to harm you. It's not gonna affect you in a negative way. But what God, if we believe that God is good, and again, singing those songs this morning, the thought just came to my mind. God, you are so good. How can we not praise you? How can we not worship you? God, you're so awesome. You're so good. Even when things may not go my way, your way, the way of the church, God still remains good. That's one thing that we cannot ever forget. God does not change. His character does not change. God has always been good. He is good today. He always will be good. And what he gives people, Peter writes and says, he has given us everything, and that means everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that you need in your walk, your life, your journey with Jesus Christ, God has given you. We have to be recipients of those things. His grace, his mercy, his love, his power. Power to be successful. I don't know about you, but I need that power in my life to overcome obstacles and situations that we may encounter each and every day. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot do anything. But with him, all things are possible. That's something that we truly have to believe. So we don't grieve the Spirit of God. We don't quench the Spirit of God. And since he does speak, we should listen to what he says. We started this chapter 14 by reading or hearing the words of Jesus when he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. If we go over into chapter 16, Jesus again is still talking. He's still preparing them. He's still going to encourage them, telling them what is ahead for them or what's in store for them. And he says, I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. Naturally, they would be. But he says, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send you to him. This is amazing. Jesus announces that he's going away from them. And then in verse 18 that we read here in chapter 14, he says, I'll not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Jesus was announcing to his disciples that the relationship is not over. The relationship that he had with the disciples, it's not over, it's not ended, but it's going to continue as he sends, he goes to the Father and asks the Father to send the Spirit of God. That relationship continues. Because Jesus ascended, the Spirit of God descended, the relationship stays the same. That's what he's saying. He says they will not be abandoned or left without help. Have you ever been just given something and said, you know, hey, I want you to do this, and you have no clue what in the world you're doing? You know, I'm so thankful that we have grandkids and in-laws that know about cell phones. Because I know nothing about cell phones except how to turn them on, turn them off, maybe how to text every now and then. But beyond that, I'm challenged when it comes to that. But we have this that Jesus is saying to these disciples, I'm going to go. And it's to your advantage. It's to your benefit. It's for your good that I'm going. Because if I don't go, he's not coming. But if I go, I'm sending him. Because Jesus knew what the disciples needed to carry out their ministry, to carry out the assignment that Jesus Christ had handed them. And when he gives us an assignment and says, I want you to do this, he gives you the ability and power through the Spirit of God to accomplish that. And we are told to do whatever you do, do it for the honor and glory of God. Whatever you do. And so we see that. He said, I'm not going to leave you helpless. So how did that affect these men? You know, these men had been with him for 3 years. He was their miracle working leader. He was the one they looked up to. And all of a sudden he's gone. These are mighty big shoes to fill. You know, when somebody is in a place for a long time and they're leaving for whatever reason, you know, you may think, well, who's going to fill his shoes? There are mighty big shoes to fill. The Holy Spirit could fill the shoes of Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand what I just said. Because he is co-equal with Jesus. They're co-equal with the Father. And so they're not going to be lacking anything to be successful in their endeavors for Christ. You and I, by the power of the Spirit of God, will not be lacking as we continue to do the endeavors that God draws us to do. We'll not be lacking anything. Jesus establishes himself here in this relationship with the Father. He says, the Father's in me, I am in the Father. And this is a unique, intimate relationship. And he says, the things that you see me do, and because of that relationship, you know, the things that I say, it's the Father speaking through me. The things that you see me do, it's the Father working through me. And the things that we do today have to be led of the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, those, if you believe in me, you're going to do the things that I'm doing, and you're going to do even greater things. Well, what is greater than walking on water? What is greater than raising the dead? Is he going to say we're going to do greater things? All the things that we do are to glorify God the Father. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, as the Spirit of God enables you. How do we accomplish all of that? Because Jesus said, because I go to the Father. And when I go to the Father, I am sending your helper. I am sending the comforter. I am sending another one just like me to you to help you, to be with you, to walk through every day, to walk with you every step of every day, and to be with you and to be in you. To be in you. Paul says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. You were bought with a price. You're not your own. We belong to God. The Spirit of God is God's down payment on our inheritance as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. So why would we not want to come get to know him more intimately? Why would we not want to get to know him better? Have conversations with him. You can talk to him. You don't have to raise your hand, but have you talked to God lately? Have you talked to Jesus? Has he answered you? You can talk to the Spirit of God. He will talk back with you if we give him opportunity, if we give him a chance. The person of promise. The Spirit of God has not come just to give us a chill. I can get a chill doing most anything. But the Spirit of God has come, has been sent by God the Father at Jesus' request to fill us, to help us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to do what he's called us or asked us to do. What has he asked you to do? As just a follower of Jesus Christ, a witness for him. Kendra made it very clear here. Let your light shine. Are we letting our light shine? Or do we turn it out when it's not convenient? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are we ashamed of the name of Jesus? Do we bow our heads in restaurants and pray over the food that we eat? You don't have to pray 15 minutes. But you can pray 15 seconds over your food. Or do we think, you know, if you do that, people are going to watch you. Well, good. But are we ashamed to witness, or are we ashamed to go out into the world and glorify by our lives, to let our light shine for Jesus? Have I always been successful? Can I honestly say I've done that every time? No, I cannot honestly say that I've done it every time. But I want to do better. I would hope you want to do better. Because I stand up here does not mean I do everything perfectly. I know who you can ask to answer that question. But I want to honor him. I want to bless him. I want to show respect to him. I want to give him the glory. When I stop and think of what he's done for me, how can I not give him praise? How can I not worship him? How can I not allow the Spirit of God to ask, to come in, to fill me with his strength and power? And lead me to help me and help me to do, to accomplish the things that he wants me to do. It may not be the things that are so easy to do. Going into the wilderness wasn't an easy thing. But he was led in. Jesus was led in. And he was led back out. Jesus was empowered. He was enabled by the same Holy Spirit that dwells in you and me. I just have to make the choice whether I want to trust him. I just have to make the choice whether I want to submit to him or not. Whether I want to submit to God as my authority, as I want to submit to Jesus as my Lord. Lord of my life, not Lord of just some things, but Lord of my life. Give him preeminence in my life. And that I honor and glorify the Spirit of God to come and lead, to lead my life, to strengthen, to help. He'll walk through anything with you. He will help you in any endeavor that you are called to do, whatever it is. And it doesn't always have to be in the church. It can be wherever you are, the vocation in which you're working, where you're working. You can be a light. You can be a breath of fresh air wherever you are. Going through the shopping lines, you can be a breath of fresh air to the teller. Because we've already encountered some ones that they're not very happy. They're not very cordial. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they just need to be reminded that they're loved by God. But we have to be open to what the Spirit of God wants us to do. It may just be a small thing. A little thing. It may be little in your eyes, but to someone may be on the receiving end, it may be a monumental thing. We just have to be available for the Spirit of God to work through us and allow Him to enable us. And all we have to do is say and pray, say, Spirit of God, come fill me with you. Help me to do whatever you want me to do in Jesus' name. And you can do that this morning. You can do that this morning. He's a helper. Maybe you need help with something else. He's not just a counselor who'll give you wisdom to give you advice, but He will help you do whatever He wants you to do. So, Father, we just thank you this morning for your wonderful presence here in this place. And we thank you, Father, this morning for your love for us. Thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost, to be the sacrifice, God, for sin for all time. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to come alongside us, to be in us, to help us, to empower us, God, to be your witnesses wherever, God, you may lead us. God, for that one this morning that may be struggling, God, that the Spirit of God would lovingly tug at their heart and for them to become and, Lord, to pray and just to entrust, God, themselves to you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen.